Now, live from the WOAI studios in San Antonio, it's the Joe Pags Show.
This is the Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Great radio stations across the land, JoePags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. It's all right there. Also, the live video feed. Glad to have you along for the ride as well. The Joe Pags Show coming your way on a Tuesday.
All
oh, yeah. Frazier training it on Tuesday. Carrie, what's going on?
How's it going?
Making it happen. Getting it done.
Good.
La da 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 dee 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 da da. Oh, we're gonna talk about this stupid impeachment. We'll talk about that. You know, I don't like doing that in the first hour, though. We like to at least take an hour out of the show and do none of that.
That'd be nice.
Know what I'm saying?
I do. Yes.
Are you all impeachmented out?
I am.
Impeachmented out? What's the term?
I'm impeached out.
Is it impeached out?
I'd say impeached out.
I don't know. I don't know if that's right. I don't know if that's exactly how we do it. Impeached out? I think
The way I'm going to say it.
Impeachmented it out, no?
No, that doesn't sound right.
Impeached I think it might be out. Impeachmented it.
No. Impeached out.
Impeached out?
Yes. That is me.
I don't know how I feel about that.
But if Paulo suggested it, you'd love it.
I would. If he suggested it, that's true. But when you say it, it's kind of like
bacon sandwich.
Exactly right. It's something like that. A little something like that. Thank you, Mike. It is the Joe Pags Show. And yes, impeachment is all the buzz today. Let me just say this right up front. The president was not impeached today. It did not happen. It might, and it might happen this week. But it did not happen today. And I'll explain what I mean by that, because I think a lot of people are confused. They think that the announcement was, did you see the picture that I posted over on the Twitters of the sad sacks all standing there going,
no.
You know, it's a solemn day that we take the oath and nobody wants to do this. This
really?
Is so horrible. But we just feel that the safety and security of the Republic is so much more important. Oh, shut up. I have never seen bigger liars. Liar! In my life. Ever. I mean, it's startling, it's stunning to see those mopey faces protect. Look, impeach 45 was standing out there with
she
Nancy
was.
Pelosi today.
Yeah, she was.
Impeach 45. The lady that said, if you see them at the gas station or at the shopping center or at the restaurant, you rise up and you gather and you give them a hard time. That was years ago, way before any phone call to Ukraine. She'd been saying, impeach 45 for 3 years now. Of course, Rashida Tlaib would like to impeach the MF. That was years ago. Before she was even starting in her new job, she was saying that. AOC, we have to impeach him or he might win re-election. Al Green, we have to impeach him or he might win re-election. Well, they're trying to. But of course, there's always rumbling about maybe we'll censure him, though, instead. Maybe we should censure him. Which actually would be smarter, if you think about it. It would be smarter. Oh, somebody said they bought a Joe Pags t-shirt today.
Very
how nice
cool.
is that?
Oh, very nice.
A couple of things. I'm at the Wingstop today that I've never been to before. It was good. Have you been to the Wingstop?
I have not.
Good stuff. A couple of guys walked up, shook my hand, loved the show, love what we do. There may or may not have been mention of the Chocolate Boys, maybe.
Oh, really?
Because it's very nice of them to mention and say hello and shake my hands. And then the one guy said, yeah, we drive past your house all the time. And the other guy said, shush. I'm like, what are you guys talking
that's
about?
That's kind of creepy,
okay. But it was very nice to meet them. And yesterday, Bob, I saw him at, I don't want to say the name of the store, but it rhymes with Sam's.
Okay.
What? It rhymes with Sam's Pub.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah.
That's tricky.
That takes a while to figure that one out.
Put your thinking cap on.
Okay.
But Bob Perez walked up, or he said Perez walked up, and he said, yeah, we see you're talking about Camaros. He's got a 68 Camaro, and he's telling me about it. And I was like, can I have it?
No.
And Bob's a big fan of the show and maybe of Chocolate Voice, but he was not going to give me a 68 Camaro.
What are you doing out and about meeting people? What's going on with you this week?
Listen,
you all right?
Listen, I raised a bunch of money for the kids.
Yeah.
What, Polo? Polo's grabbing the microphone. He's ready.
I was just going to say, 'tis the season, I guess.
I'm out there. I'm getting it done. Yesterday I was out of protein bars.
Mm-hmm.
And I only buy them at Blam's Flub.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they have the ones that I like.
Mm-hmm.
And today, got a text from the wonderful Gabby. Said, "You want to meet Mom and me over at the Wingstop?" And I said, "Yes."
Oh,
what,
that's
am I not
nice.
Allowed to say yes?
Well, I know, but usually you're such a hermit. You go to the gym.
I go to the gym.
And you go to the studio. Go to your studio. That's
I go to the studio.
Pretty much it.
But that's it.
Yeah.
But if I want to get out and about, why is it a problem for you? Why you got to be so mean?
It's not. I was just wondering, asking if everything was okay.
It feels like
not like you. Bacon sandwich.
It sounds like bacon sandwich, to be honest with
you. Thank you, Bartlett, for sending it out.
It is. But listen, I like meeting the people. I like saying hello. It's all good. And at the end of the day, the people now are buying the shirts over the thing. It was funny because Hawaii bought a shirt, and then somebody in Alaska bought a shirt, then Nebraska, then Michigan, then...
And
I'm like... Man, I hope they don't hate these things. They're pretty good. I think they're pretty good, so
awesome.
It should be all right. Did you buy yourself a mug, or are you waiting for me to buy you one?
No, I haven't yet. I have not yet. But
we made it easier. JoePags.com/store. That's easier, right?
Oh, okay. Sure.
If you're on the thing, just dial it up, JoePags.com/store.
Okay.
Bam. And again, I want your comments on it. That would be great. We'll send some money off to charity. Not sure yet. I'll announce it soon. So when it comes to impeachment, we'll get into it later. I've got Pam Bondi on. She's a former AG of the great state of Florida. She's also now, I didn't even know this, she's a special advisor to the president now. So I talked to her from Washington, D.C., so we've got her on. Also, Mark Lauder, the director for strategic communications, Trump 2020. Big rally tonight in Pennsylvania. Battleground state, Kerry, that Trump won
mm-hmm.
in 2016 that he wasn't supposed to win. Wasn't supposed to win Michigan, wasn't supposed to win Wisconsin. He won those states, and guess what?
What?
He's doing even better in those states now.
That's what I've heard.
I mean, recent polling, am I making this up? Recent polling is that he's doing better than he did in 16.
I saw that this morning, as a matter of fact.
See, it's amazing what you see in the morning sometimes.
Mm-hmm, it is.
You know what I saw this morning?
What?
3 hours and 39 minutes of sleep. Oh, yes.
Dude.
Yep. Now you wonder why I'm out and about, because I forgot that I was hermit.
3 hours and 30 minutes.
That's what it was.
Terrible.
It is 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. No calls on impeachment yet. We'll get into that later. I do, however, want to start with the word of the year. Kerry, this is a story that you have.
I know you like it.
And it's just a great story. It's heartwarming. In fact, I feel more like a man or a woman, depending on what I feel like today.
Mm,
simply because this is the word of the day. And there's
the
story of the year. And the cultural appropriation story is awesome as well. This reminds me of the story of the two women from Portland that decided to open a taco truck. Well,
that,
of course, they're allowed
to. I remember that.
Because they're whitey McWhite.
Yeah.
You can't open a taco truck.
With all that white privilege going on, it's impossible.
But can you open a Chinese restaurant?
I know the answer to that.
I don't know if you know.
I think I know.
But let's start with Merriam-Webster, which I thought the job of that company was to put out a book, some call it the dictionary, that has definitions of words in it. Like if my daughter said, "Hey, Dad, what's the definition of fill in the blank?" I would say, "Well, go check with dictionary.com or go to Merriam-Webster's online and you can go find out." Well, now I'm probably not going to send her there anymore because Merriam-Webster has made the decision, not the person, the organization, has made the decision that they're going to just change the definition of a word. Have I got it right, Kerry?
Pretty much, you do.
Help me out here, please.
From the Daily Mail, the non-binary pronoun they has been named as the Merriam-Webster Dictionary's Word of the Year. And the choice was based on a 313% increase in lookups on the company's search site, Merriam-Webster.com, this year when compared with 2018. The definition of they as a pronoun for non-binary people was added to other definitions of the word in September to accommodate the LGBTQ community. I have to say it's surprising to me, said Peter Sokolowski, a lexicographer and Merriam-Webster's editor-at-large ahead of Tuesday's announcement. It's a word we all know and love. So many people were talking about this word. A milestone moments that sparked they search spikes included the rise of model Oslo Grace on top fashion runways in January. The Northern Californian identifies as transgender non-binary, walking in both men's and women's shows around the world. Another lookup spike occurred in April when U.S. Representative Pramila Jayapal from Washington got emotional while talking of her gender non-conforming child during a House committee hearing as she advocated for LGBTQ rights legislation. In September, British singer Sam Smith came out as non-binary, asked to be referred to as they, them. And Merriam-Webster added the new definition of they to its online dictionary to reflect a non-binary gender identity. In October, the American Psychological Association endorsed they as a singular third-person pronoun in its latest style guide for scholarly writing.
Who said that? The AP? Writing?
The American Psychological Association.
Oh. Why would they do that when, obviously, psychologists and psychiatrists, specifically doctors of the workings of the mind, are pretty clear that there is a real affliction called gender dysphoria. So I wonder why they would say that it's acceptable. At the end of the day, they is plural. They means more than one person. And it could be any gender, to be honest with you. Like if you and I were going somewhere and people wanted to point us out, say, oh, I went to the mall. They were there.
Mm-hmm.
It's referring to us because it's plural. If you were just there, they would say she was there. If I was just there, they would say he, and a really masculine, strong, very well-built he
really?
Was there. They probably would describe it that way, to be honest.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure they would.
So why Miriam? Because, again, some things are variable. Some things are fixed. If you want me to call you they, you're free to ask me to. I'm also free to not do it. You are singular. Now, the word you can be plural. You know, like we say y'all mm-hmm. in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
In New York, in the Northeast, you know, we say use.
Use guys.
Right. Use. All the use need to go home. It's after 11 o'clock. And here we say, y'all need to head on home. Now, there also are many places that say you all. But the word you is, in fact, singular and plural. I could be talking about you, Carrie, or I could be talking about you, the staff of the Joe Pags Show. So changing meanings and definitions is not a thing that Merriam-Webster is supposed to do. Just supposed to tell us the definition. Because we've gotten to the point to where we're forgetting about the original definitions. Like, awful was not always a bad thing. Awful could have been a positive thing. It was an awful sight to see the beautiful sun in the morning. It used to be where it could be positive and negative. Now it's only negative. And I hate that we are... Look, languages go through steps and passages of time. I get it. But the one thing that we never, ever argued about was singular or plural. That's weird. That's just weird to me. So... Your thoughts about that as you hear it, and do I just shut up and roll on? It's the bigger scheme of things, Pags. It's not a big deal. What do you care? Well, I care because we're actually allowing for a sea change in our society to take hold because Sam Smith wants to be called a they. Carrie, are you going to refer to Sam Smith as they?
I would not.
No. I'm not going to do that. He's a boy, a man. Some would say. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. When you hear the changing of our language, of the vernacular in this day and age, is that okay with you? I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. Plus, we've got, is it cultural appropriation if Whitey McWhite-White decides to open an ethnic restaurant or a cultural restaurant? 888-941-PAGS, JoePags.com. Stay right here.
Don't be an A-dub. Stay with the Joe Pags Show.
News Radio 1200 WOAI.
Available everywhere with the iHeartRadio app. Now number one for podcasting. WOAI, an iHeartRadio station.
Yes, indeedy-do. Glad to have you. It's the Joe Pags Show. Pam Bondi on this program. Special advisor to the president, former AG of the great state of Florida. Also, Mark Lotter, Director of Strategic Communications for Trump 2020. Glad to have you along for the ride as well. I have to say this, Carrie and Polo have brought it fashion-wise today. Carrie, I don't think I've seen that before. It's a nice sweater. It's nice. But it's the cold weather that brought that out, right?
Yes, exactly. I've had it for a while, but haven't used it. But it's very cold today.
For those who can't see it, it is off-white, if not beige.
Mm-hmm, correct.
And either dark brown or black. Stripes around
mm-hmm.
the V-neck.
Mm-hmm. That is correct.
Yeah, but again, most people hear us on the radio don't see us. And it reminds me that I got an email yesterday from a young woman who said that she wants V-necks in the
That's
Joe Pags store.
What I would like too, if you're asking for some, you know, opinions about that kind of stuff.
Of course I am.
Yeah.
I'm down. I actually thought to myself, I talk about working out all the time. Why don't I have a tank top up there?
Oh, hello. There you go.
You know?
That'd be perfect. Yeah.
The workout doesn't have to be boring.
Yeah, there you go. You like those tank tops, don't you?
What's that?
I said you like those tank tops.
Make it sound like a pejorative. I mean, if you make them look good, there's nothing wrong with liking them.
Okay.
Know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then Polo, of course. Now, is that a sweater or is that a sweatshirt? What is that? What are we talking about here? Multicolor. It's very colorful.
I guess it's a sweater. Yeah.
Because you almost said sweatshirt, then you said sweater. You said sweater.
It's a sweater.
All right. Nice.
Look at you with all the compliments. I'm worrying about you.
I'm wearing the light blue Polo, which is a shirt that it turns out, Carrie, I think I've had for about 2 years, probably got it on a birthday or Christmas, never mm-hmm. wore it before about a week ago.
Oh, there you go.
So I'm showing that off.
Brand
people think that I bought a new one. Didn't happen.
Again, I'm worried about you. You're complimenting us. You're going out. Right. You're meeting people.
You're going to die soon.
I'm worried about you. What is going on?
I think I also caught myself because typically when I say a sweater, I always say it a little bit differently. Like from the Three Amigos.
I don't know. How do they say it in the Three Amigos?
When they're giving El Guapo a birthday present and he's opening it up and it's a sweater and he opens it up, he's like, it's a sweater.
So, yeah. So you have to be careful.
Yeah.
Be careful saying sweater. Okay.
Yeah.
And again, be careful how you say it because Merriam-Webster will change the meaning of sweater if you say it like that, which is also a problem. They is the word of the year. They is the word of the year because anybody can be a they. So Carrie Lockie later on, they will read some news. They will press some buttons. Polo Cuellar, they will answer the phones.
No, I do not wish to be identified as they.
It really doesn't matter what you wish. It turns out, Merriam-Webster says I can call you anything I want because it's now available as a singular gender non-binary word.
Okay.
And I'm trying to not sexually harass anybody, so I'm going to use gender non-binary words because you all seem to me to be gender fluid, which always sounds gross to me.
No, I'm not
when
gender
you say
fluid
along with gender, it just sounds nasty.
Stop.
They shouldn't be interrupting me when I'm doing my monologue. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Let me go to line one. It's going to be Glenn in Kansas City. Glenn, how are they?
They are great.
Awesome. Talk to me, they. What's happening?
So I just wanted to kind of interject that this is not about religion, but I'm a Catholic, and you may or may not know that Catholic theologians and all use the language of Latin as their primary language.
Yes.
And one of the reasons they do that is because, you know, they all need to learn Latin and then it's the language they all know. But another reason is that that's not really used in any countries, you know, culturally anymore except the Vatican. And so the definitions of words do not change. And that's one of the reasons they use that is it's a very stable language, unlike the English language, apparently.
Well, the English language is variable. You can change it as you wish. You can call me them or a zim or a zazir or a they. You can call me a her or a she if you want because I might be non-binary, cis, and fluid or something like that.
Right. And so that seems to, Merriam-Webster has just demonstrated that just changes and you don't know the definition of a word from, you know, today to tomorrow or whatever.
Glenn, I hear you. I got to run. I hear you. I think you're right. I appreciate it. And as a Catholic, of course, Glenn is not allowed to hate anything or anybody, according to Nancy Pelosi. It's 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. That Chinese restaurant story when we come back. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pag.
Before your head hits the pillow, hit up your smart speaker.
Alexa, wake me up with 1200 WOAI on iHeartRadio.
I set your alarm.
Stations across the land, joepags.com. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all of that and more. I don't know, is this David somebody on my chat is trying to have a conversation on the show? David, it's not how we do. It's an actual talk show. Call the program, 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. I offer up the video feed so you can see our smiling faces as we do it. But I certainly want you to take part in the program that's on the radio across the country, 130 radio stations, as well as it'll be on Newsmax TV next hour. So I'm not going to back and forth with you on the chat, but I do appreciate you writing. I'm not even sure if you're agreeing or disagreeing with me, but again, by all means, 888-941-PAGS. So, yeah, they is the word of the year. It's really kind of stupid. I'll take a couple more calls on that, and then I'm going to move on to the Chinese food store. Hey, if you don't mind, get me the restaurant story ready, Carrie, if that's okay with you.
Mm-hmm, it's ready.
Let's make that happen. So let's go to the phone lines and say hello and welcome to line two is going to be Jim in San Antonio. Jim, what's going on?
Hey, Joe, living a dream.
Hey, good. Excellent. Let's go. What's happening?
Comment on they and how we're all taught that it's a plural word. So I'm wondering how it translates to other languages like Spanish, prevalent here in our area. Ellos is they. So is that going to translate into Spanish? Is they going to be a singular word in Spanish?
Well, I'm guessing probably yes, but a bigger question might be because in Spanish and Italian and French and other languages, like a cat would be either L or la, depending on the gender of the cat. What do you do then? And some words are just generally speaking, I think key, llave, I think that's la, I think. So keys are, generally speaking, feminine when you say them in Spanish. So what do you do now? Are you going to use they for keys?
Idea, yeah.
Because there are masculine and feminine words in languages other than... In our country, obviously, we just use the word the. But the, in other languages, can be masculine or feminine, depending on what the noun just happens to be. And that's going to screw everything up. What's Sam Smith going to do if he's going to a concert in, like, Mexico, and he has to have a key to the bathroom? Does he say, I need they keys? Or is he going to use the proper...
Exactly.
The proper article in front of it. Jim, it's a good question. Carrie, I would have to assume that probably other languages are going to do the whole they thing, too. I mean, there are people.
I don't see why they wouldn't.
You know, in every language, in every country who are doing this whole gender dysphoria, gender fluidity or something. The whole thing is dumb. Gender non-binary. How about this? No. Why is it so hard? Why can't we just say no and pass potatoes?
No, you can't. You can't. No, because you're hurting somebody's feelings and you're not accepting them.
How about you get over yourself? How about you get over it? How about you buck up a little bit, Sparky?
Do that.
How about that? It is 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com, Minnesota, and NG. NG, what's going on? Hi, is it NG or Engie?
It's Engie, Joe, and we're going to be best friends. Trust me.
I don't know about that, but at the end of the day, I've got to remember how to pronounce it because this is not the first time you've called in. Go ahead.
It's the second time. I'm keeping track.
Appreciate it.
First of all, I have a question. Can we change the name of Minnesota to what the hell's the matter with you, Minnesota?
What the hell's the matter with you, Minnesota? I think we probably should.
I think you should. I'm sorry if I said the H word. But also, following this discussion, can you maybe change the greeting, maybe for tonight, to when they say, Joe, how you doing? And you say, them are living the dream.
You know, Engie, I'm never going to do that, but it's a nice suggestion. Never going to happen. not even to be funny for a day. I can't do it. Thank you, Engie. I love that you love the show. Carrie, I'm not doing it.
I think you should. I think
I'm
you
not
need
doing
to start.
It.
Yeah. Every call.
It's E-N-G-E-E. How would you pronounce that?
I would say NG, but
I've said that twice now.
Right.
Both times you corrected me. It's Engie.
Engie. Got it.
Yes, Polo.
I just thought you were going to say B-I-N-G-O. I mean, I was thinking you were going to go with
that. Wow. Mm-hmm. I could, but he wanted me to say they, them, and that threw me completely off kilter. So there you go. It's 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Ray is in Texas. Ray, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Living the dream.
Hey, so I think it's silly them co-opting this word they, which we know is all know is a plural word.
Right.
I'm advocating for a new word.
Okay, what is it?
The English language. I'm advocating for rabazibaza. Because it could be masculine, feminine, other. It crosses all languages because it would be new to everybody. It's five syllables, which is plenty to fit for anyone and everyone.
Rabazubaza?
Rabazibaza.
That's my middle name. What do you mean? That's not a made-up. What are you talking about? It's Joe Rabazubaza Pags. You didn't know that?
Well, then your parents are very creative.
Duh. Have you seen them? Ray, I hear you. We're not going to make up a new word, Rabazubaza. Carrie, we're not going there.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. No.
Rabazubaza.
Rabazubaza. No. Mm-mm.
I mean, I get where he's coming from, but he put too much effort into the word. just like make a noise.
Yeah, I agree.
Instead of calling me him or her or he or she or they or them, I want you to call me just make a noise.
Okay. Hey, what is your middle name?
I've got three middle names, but it's a long story. By birth, it was Sean.
Huh. Okay.
But it was changed to John.
So Joseph John Pagliarulo?
Yes, but there are several other names, a confirmation name, a communion name. You get all kinds of names when you're Catholic growing up.
Okay, all right.
But there's quite a bit of controversy. John. And since my father's passed, I think I could tell the story. He actually changed it without even telling my mother.
Oh, yeah.
Well, traditionally in an Italian household, your firstborn son is named after the grandfather.
Okay.
My grandfather's name was Giovanni or John. Pagliarulo, and my father didn't like Sean, I guess, and unbeknownst to mom.
He changed.
Oh, yeah, because I've seen both versions. I've seen the actual original birth certificate. My middle name was a very Irish middle name.
Joseph Sean, yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of a nice ring to it.
Not anymore.
Mm-mm. John, got it.
Dad wasn't having it. And he figured, why tell mom?
That's an interesting approach.
One day when he's entering school, she'll realize it as she takes out the birth certificate. You know what I mean?
Surprise.
So there you go. Let me go to the phone lines. It's going to be Virgil in Kansas City. Virgil, what's going on? Hi.
Joe, long time listener.
Thank you. Thanks, man.
It's to speak with you, sir.
Oh, thank you.
Anyway, what I wanted to share with you is, remember watching the Addams Family television show? years ago, they had a character on there called Cousin It.
Yes.
Now, nobody knew whether Cousin It was a male or a female or whether Cousin It was even human. And being true to the English language, it can also be singular. So my recommendation, instead of they, them, why not just substitute it?
Yeah, and I don't know why. It's a great question. And Virgil, I think that you make an excellent point. It is singular. Individuals are singular. Why would we have to call them they? Seriously. Why would we have to say they and not it? Because it, what, denotes something negative or something?
Yeah, I would say to people today, yes, they would. You can't call somebody an it.
They think that they is positive?
Apparently.
Shut the face.
Yes, I can't.
All right, give us that story about the Chinese food restaurant. I'd like to hear about it, because this, again, is just as dumb as the taco truck story out of Portland. Go ahead.
From The Blaze, Lucky Lee's, a Chinese restaurant opened by a white woman that soon was slapped with cultural appropriation complaints, has closed its doors for good, NBC News reported. The New York City eatery saw quick trouble after being marketed as a clean alternative to traditional American Chinese restaurants. We heard you're obsessed with lo mein but rarely eat it. A deleted Instagram post from the restaurant read, you said it makes you feel bloated and icky the next day. We'll wait until you slurp up our high lo mein, not too oily or salty. The restaurant's moniker was seen as drawing from stereotypes of Chinese culture, although Lee is the name of owner Ariel Haspel's husband. NBC News said many in the Asian American community criticized the restaurant on its social media accounts and Yelp page, and Haspel's Instagram page was hit with negative comments as well. Quote, do you even know that your intention is to whitewash another culture's cuisine? Instagram user Hui Bing wrote, have you heard of the term cultural appropriation? I bet you have not. Just Google it. We don't eat sesame chicken. I didn't know what that was until I came to North America. We don't deep fry anything. Also, if chopsticks give you nightmares, you really should stick to your fork. Your intention is insulting and grotesque, period. A user identifying as non-Asian argued your wellness influencer language here, defending your actions is insane. I'm white and I hate this bleep. Privilege at its best, another user wrote, cultural appropriation at its finest. A food blogger, Mackenzie Fagan, who's Asian American, told WPIX-TV that the language used to describe Lucky Lee's is culturally insensitive to people who eat Chinese food every day. In response, Haspel told Eater New York, I love, love, love American Chinese food. I made some tweaks so I'd be able to eat it, and my friends and other people would be able to eat it. I am by all means never, ever looking to put down a culture at all. I'm very inclusive, and we're here to celebrate the culture. Finally, Lucky Lee's announced on its website Friday it is closing up shop. It is with a heavy heart we are shutting down our woks and ovens tonight. The statement read, we have truly loved feeding and entertaining you and your families. We're very proud of our food and the space we created. But a lot needs to come together to make a restaurant work in New York City, and we wish it could have succeeded as we hoped. NBC News says Lucky Lee's did not return its request for comments.
So there you go. Chinese food at many Chinese restaurants in America is not anything like Chinese food in China. The Chinese food in many restaurants in America is filled with MSG. Now, some don't have it, and you could actually ask, make sure there's no MSG. It's thick. It's really salted for the American palate. And it also, I believe, makes you hungry quicker than traditional Chinese food in China. I've been to China. I've had it. For this American family or person to say, I'm going to open a Chinese food restaurant with food that I can actually eat, because obviously something didn't agree with them in the traditional, you know, fare that wasn't as well prepared. And they offered up some lines that maybe were questionable, whatever. And you can complain about their advertising if you want. But suggesting that you're not allowed to have a Chinese food restaurant because you're culturally appropriating. And I was waiting until, because obviously one of the comments very quickly was cultural appropriation, your whiteness is showing. So what do we find out? Being white is always a pejorative and a negative now in America. Also, if you're white, you're not allowed to make the food of anybody. Sam, who in our house makes the best dumplings?
You.
Thank you. Oh, yes. And I'm not Chinese by any measure. We just did the DNA test. No Chinese in there. Not even a little bit. So at the end of the day, suggesting that I'm not allowed to make the dumplings for my family is not only ridiculous, it's completely and utterly un-American, it's against freedom and liberty, and it's stupid. Now, there was a story in Portland, Oregon, not long ago, probably a year or two ago now, where a couple of women went on vacation to Mexico. They sort of watched and learned from some traditional Mexican food preparers in Mexico how to make a really good taco or burrito or whatever. and they were making it. I think it might even been a burrito truck. Whatever it was, they were making traditional Mexican burritos or tacos and selling it from a truck or a bus or some sort of a food service vehicle. And they were roundly attacked by, like, one idiot blogger who I actually went after on Twitter, and she responded to me and then blocked me or something. But the whole article was about cultural appropriation. They stole this woman's culture. They stole her recipes. They stole her way of life. When this woman has no intention of leaving Mexico and going to Portland, Oregon, and has no intention of opening a truck, it's not like they stole from the competition in town. They went to Mexico and learned from real Mexican people. And they ended up closing their truck down because of the outrage. There's something wrong with the outrage culture. There's something wrong with the social justice warrior culture. You're not making any sense. In fact, you sound like an idiot. But I love you like a brother. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. If you think that you should not, that a person should not be allowed to make the food of a culture other than their own, I want to hear from you. And I want you to really make your case and make me understand. Look, I agree. Carrie, we probably can agree that some of what they wrote was kind of stupid and should have been well thought out.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
But if you don't like it, don't eat there, right?
Exactly, yes.
Just dumb. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
I need local news.
Stuff that's going on around me.
Travel time to work.
There's
going to
be severe weather.
To stay informed.
What affects me directly?
News Radio 1200.
Local news.
WOAI.
At 8941PAGS, joepags.com. Make sure you stop by the website. All of the social media there, plus the live video feed for hours one and three. Hour number two is, of course, on Newsmax TV. Also, the new store is up running. Go check it out. Let me know if you have any suggestions, any ideas. I'm hearing V-necks. I'm hearing some maybe love you like a brother. Maybe don't be an ass wagon. Maybe chocolate voice is why I listen, something like that. We'll see. I really am kind of afraid that would outsell my shirts, though, so I might not do that, just for my ego.
I think it's a fabulous idea.
Don't think I said it. I don't think I asked you anything. I'm not sure I asked you a question.
Well, didn't you say, hey, I want opinions about anything?
No, not from people on
not
staff.
From me?
I just think you have stuff to do. And
so, yeah, V-neck and chocolate voice T-shirts. Yes. Yes,
wow.
And yes.
Two things. Say, make a note, two things not to do. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. That's how we make it happen. A lot of people want to talk about cultural appropriation. We'll get to that in a second. Let me tell you about Omaha Steaks. Omaha Steaks, I can rely on them. Well, Americans have relied on Omaha Steaks for more than 100 years now. It's a family-owned and operated business, and they've been doing incredible business for a century, almost a decade. No, 10 decades. This is a family-owned business that you can rely on to always deliver fresh, wonderful, great meat and other stuff, too. I'm going to tell you about that other stuff. They've got the favorite gift package, the gift everyone's going to love for only $69.99. You go to omahasteaks.com and put in my name, Pags, P-A-G-S, in the search bar. This is a great time to get it done. There's still time to get this delivered by the holidays. And this is important because a lot of places you can't get stuff delivered by Christmas right now anymore. 4 6-ounce bacon-wrapped filet mignons, 4 premium pork chops, 4 Omaha Steaks burgers, 4 potatoes au gratin, 4 caramel apple tartlets, an Omaha Steaks signature seasoning packet, and, because you listen to my program, a free 6-piece cutlery set and cutting board, too. All this delicious food plus the free cutlery set they're going to love for years to come, $69.99. Get right now to omahasteaks.com. Omahasteaks.com. And then put in my name, P-A-G-S, in the search bar. You'll be glad you did. Let me go to the phone lines on this cultural appropriation stuff and say hello and welcome to line one. Is Scott in San Antonio. Scott, what's going on?
Having a wonderful drive here on 1604 just around San Antonio.
I'll bet you. Are you stuck? Are you stopped? I love it. On that highway, you just have to stop sometimes.
Exactly, especially when you're talking on the phone.
Exactly. Go ahead. What's happening?
Well, I get a little bit annoyed with everybody that talks about cultural appropriation and invalidates my experiences working and living amongst other cultures.
Yeah.
I try and participate in whatever is going on in the place that I live, like San Antonio. Most recently, I did the whole face painting and got in costume for Dia de los Muertos.
Right.
It's not appropriation, it is appreciation through participation in another culture's experience. It's learning.
Now, so, you're not allowed to learn if it has to do with somebody else's culture. You should know that, Scott. I appreciate you. You go to Marcellus. Marcellus, what's going on? Hi, got about a minute.
Hey, Joe, I met you earlier today, and it was a great experience, and I get to talk to you, and it's even better.
It's good to meet you, my friend. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say that the cultural appropriation is the left's version of stereotyping and making it okay. If I only can be Asian, and I can only make Asian food, then, you know, it's stereotyping. Why can't a different culture experience and make a different cuisine and enjoy it without being slammed and trashed for it by online bullies?
Marcellus, again, nice to meet you. I'm glad you called in, and you're right. I agree with you wholeheartedly. In fact, we used to be a country based on the melting pot theory, which was all cultures into one pot. We all melt together, make this great land from many one, e pluribus unum. But now you have to separate the culture, separate yourself from the culture. Now, let me ask you this. As somebody who has a couple of bucks, can I take my family to a Chinese restaurant and spend my money there? Or is that cultural appropriation? I'll bet that's okay. 888-941-PAGS, JoePags.com. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags.
Now, live from the WOAI studios in San Antonio, it's the Joe Pags Show.
Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Great radio stations across the land, JoePags.com. All the social media there, make sure you stop by. The store link is there. People have been buying shirts and stuff. That's kind of cool. Also, Newsmax TV, the Joe Pags Show. Glad to have you along for the ride on a Tuesday. Yes. Crazy Train Tuesday. That's how we do. I. That is the lucky. What's happening?
Yeah.
My news anchor sidekick. Pain in my ass. Let's just put it out there.
And happy to be so, yes.
Well, I mean, you've done it very well for a long time.
Thank
so
you.
If you weren't happy to do so,
I'd take pride
in
that.
Pretty good. Mm-hmm. Lots going on. The somber looks and the somber faces of Jerry Nadler. Hey, look, this isn't anything other than the truth. I had no idea that Adam Schiff was a foot taller than Jerry Nadler. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Holy mackerel. Nadler's just a little guy. Either that or Adam Schiff's like 6'8". He's not that tall, is he?
I don't know how tall he is.
But they all stood there. I'm going to show this to the people on television. They all had this weird face. I don't know what it was. It was the weirdest face. And then Nancy Pelosi moved Maxine Waters to the side, and then she moved her in front of her. Then some guy showed up, and Maxine Waters gave him a half a hug. I mean, these people were just in mourning today because they had to do this horrible thing to this horrible man who is trying to ruin the democracy. They love the founders. They love the Constitution. They're just trying to save the country from this evil orange man. Carrie, please to give us the outline of this. And by the way, Pam Bondi at the bottom of this hour, former Attorney General of the great state of Florida. She's also now a special advisor to the President of the United States. We talk about the legalese that was not really even discussed today, the legal procedures that should have been in place, and what this really amounted to today. We'll talk about it. As I predicted on the show many times, obstruction, I said of justice, it's of Congress, basically the same thing, but directly about Congress, and also abuse of power. But, yeah, we'll get into the idiosyncrasies of it, what it actually means, what they're actually trying to do, and whether this will even pass the House. I mean, that's still in question. That is not a done deal. All right, Carrie, what do you have?
From NBC, House Democrats on Tuesday unveiled articles of impeachment against President Donald Trump about 2.5 months after Speaker Nancy Pelosi first announced a formal impeachment inquiry into the president. Judiciary Committee Chairman Jerry Nadler announced his committee will consider two articles of impeachment, one for abuse of power, the other for obstruction of Congress, charging Trump with committing high crimes and misdemeanors. Nadler said the articles of impeachment were being filed in response to Trump allegedly soliciting foreign interference in the 2020 election, compromising national security, threatening the integrity of the upcoming election, and concealing evidence from Congress and the American people. Trump, he said, violated his oath of office. And Democrats released the draft articles later Tuesday morning. And the articles allege Trump corruptly solicited the government of Ukraine to publicly announce investigations into the Bidens and a conspiracy theory alleging Ukrainian interference in the 2016 election. Trump also, quote, conditioned two official acts on the public announcements that he requested. And Democrats wrote, citing nearly $400 million in military aid and an official White House meeting with Ukrainian President Zelensky. Wherefore, President Trump, by such conduct has demonstrated he will remain a threat to national security and the Constitution if allowed to remain in office, and has acted in a manner grossly incompatible with self-governance and the rule of law. And the articles read, President Trump thus warrants impeachment and trial, removal from office, and disqualification to hold and enjoy any office of honor, trust, or profit under the United States. And the articles are expected to be considered in the House Judiciary Committee this week and voted on soon after, which would send them to the floor for a vote on impeachment by the full House, possibly this month. If one or more of the articles pass, the Senate would then hold a trial to consider removing Trump, and that would take a vote by at least two-thirds of the Senate, most likely sometime in January.
All right, so let's break it down. Abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. The lie, well, the whole thing's a lie. And the people that are bringing it, let's just say who they are. They're disgusting, ridiculous, horrible people that are just mad at what happened in 2016. That's all they are? Nothing more, nothing less. They're horrible, disgusting people. They're despicable. If they're from your district, you need to vote that ass out because they're horrible. And what they're doing is actually a huge detriment to the republic that they say they're defending. They're not. The president of the United States has every right to call a world leader who just won election, congratulate him, have a great cordial conversation, and at one point in the conversation, and actually said he asked for a favor for himself. He didn't. Pam Bondi corrects me in our interview. He asked if Zelensky could do a favor for us, the country. And the favor was not about the 2020 election. That's another huge lie. It's a huge, unadulterated lie. There is no ask whatsoever about anything heading into 2020. That's the connection the left is making that doesn't exist. The ask is about 2016. The ask is about the very corrupt country of Ukraine. This guy was elected because he was the non-corrupt candidate, to be honest. The ask was, can you do us a favor and look into Hunter Biden and Joe Biden and see what the story was in 2016 with this Burisma thing and the, what was it, CrowdStrike or somebody? He's asking, as the chief executive of this country, the CEO of our land, about possible corruption that might have happened in 2016. Now, we know that when Joe Biden was out on the speaking tour, he said, as vice president, which he still was in 2016, he strong-armed Ukraine to fire a prosecutor. We know the prosecutor was looking into his son and Burisma. That what I've just said is factually true. Take it to the bank. Oh, it's funny, Carrie. I posted several things about this on Twitter today, a picture of their horrible faces and the ridiculous sham that they pulled off, and and also a video of me talking about the show coming up and explaining exactly how stupid these articles were. And the only response I had from people on the left was, okay, boomer, which is stupid, which is ineffective, to be honest, and it's not even original anymore, enough. And the other one was, oh, he was trying to make a bribe. What? So no, he wasn't bribing anybody. The whole bribery charge went away pretty quickly, and I break that down with Mark Lotter later, because the bribery thing, when you say bribery, that's a legal term. And the Democrats had to run away from that because they know they have no bribery here. But again, back to it. The obstruction of the Congress I'll get into in a second, but the abuse of power, the alleged abuse of power, was the president asking for that favor for this country. The president basically trying to investigate whether there was corruption in 2016 and how we avoid that going forward. Joe Biden was not yet anybody who was running, so Joe Biden was not even a thought process as far as being a political, what do they keep calling him, a political rival? He's not a political rival. He's a political rival to the other Democrats trying to be the nominee. And if Joe Biden should win the nomination, then you can call him a political rival. He's not today. He's just the guy who has a hard time saying a speech anymore, whose son was getting $1 million a year to do a job he wasn't qualified to do in Ukraine, which had a lot of corruption and big corruption problems. So the abuse of power is bogus. It was not about personal gain. Nothing was ever said about the 2020 election. When you're giving aid to a country, you certainly want to know what they're going to do with it. And the aid eventually went. There was no denial of a White House meeting. The president said, I want nothing. There is no quid pro quo. He said that, period, before any of this stuff blew up. He said it. And the Ukrainians never did anything. Zelensky never did anything to get that aid. Nothing. So it's bogus. When it comes to obstruction of Congress, they're saying the president obstructed Congress because he didn't cooperate with the inquiry, something that presidents have the right to do. And by the way, he also went to court when it came to subpoenas and other things. That's due process he's allowed as an American. So there is no obstruction of anything. He was going through the proper channels. And I mean, Barack Obama used presidential executive privilege when it came to Eric Holder, when it came to himself. I mean, hell, why didn't we charge Hillary Clinton with obstruction of justice when she was pressed about why the four were killed in Benghazi? And she said, what at this point does it matter? Or what difference at this point does it make how they died? Really? That's not obstruction when you don't give a real answer? Come on, man. There's no obstruction. There's no abuse of power. This is a sham. It's a lie. And these people are the lowest of the low in our society. They are in the gutter. And it's disgusting to see because a lot of them had a legacy that they could have left with. And now their legacy is Nancy Pelosi arguing with herself 21 years later, Jerry Nadler arguing with himself 21 years later, Rashida Tlaib, who we know said impeach the MF, Maxine Waters, who has said consistently, impeach 45. She said it just like that, too. This is who these people are. And this, they actually feel good about themselves, which is so weird to me. They started this and weren't smart enough to know when to get out of it. Get out while the getting's good. Now they're all the way in. And I don't even know that they're going to have the votes in the House. But if they do, the Senate is going to make them look incredibly stupid. Your thoughts. 888-941-PAGS. JoePags.com. Your calls when we come back. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Your kids may know, but your smart speaker never will.
Alexa, play 1200 WOAI on iHeartRadio.
All right, great to have you. It is the Joe Pags Show. Thanks a lot for stopping by. Lots going on. Lots coming your way. Bottom of the hour is going to be Pam Bondi, the former AG of the great state of Florida. And also now a special advisor. And I didn't realize that she's advising the president now in Washington, D.C. She called me from the White House, so we'll talk to her as well. And she's got the real legal angle on what all of this is about. She should know, again, being the former AG. Let me go to the phone lines on this impeachment sham and scam. We'll start in Alabama. It's Mark. Mark, what's going on?
Hey, I watch your show almost every night.
Thank you.
I've been watching this impeachment stuff, and I think what the Dems, there's subtle hints there. Looks like about 10 months from now, they're setting him up for when he wins the re-election to try and delegitimize it because they're saying that he's committed election interference already, which he has not.
Of course not.
And that they're trying to prevent him from doing in the future. And I think that's what their plan is that far out.
I'm not sure. So what would that even look like? So they try to impeach him. It fails. He wins re-election. Then what are you saying? What ace do they have in the hole? I don't get it.
I'm thinking they're going to come back on it again and say it's delegitimized because he's been interfering with elections. I think they're...
Right, but he hasn't been. If the impeachment fails and he's found not guilty, which he will be, they can't retry him. That would be double jeopardy. So that's not going to happen. So I just wonder what angle you think they're going to try to come from. Now, I don't think they're going to stop. I think they'll keep on bringing up garbage and making stuff up, but they can't go back to the same charges if he's found not guilty.
Well, like I said, they're laying the groundwork for what I think is... to try and delegitimize his re-election.
Okay.
Right now. That's what I think, but I could be wrong, like you said.
Mark, I hear you, and I'm trying to follow your logic, and maybe, I don't know, they're not going to try, they can't try him on the same exact thing for the same exact phone call. They can't do that. Richard is in Maryland. Richard, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing?
Living the dream. What's happening?
Yeah, okay. I hate to be the one that had to disagree, but I'm going to have to disagree with you.
I love when people disagree with me. Tell me why.
Well, first, they can bring him up on the impeachment charges as many times as they want. It's not a double jeopardy because it's not a criminal. It's not a criminal case. Impeachment ain't nothing but a firing. Impeachment is firing him from a job. That's it.
No, it's not. Impeachment is starting a trial. Impeachment isn't even firing. Richard, stop. Let's have a conversation. Okay, so impeachment is not a firing. If he's found guilty, then they can remove him. That would be the firing. So your assumption that impeachment is actually the removal, it's not. Impeachment is actually just the actual trial that's going to happen now in the Senate, which you and I can agree he's going to be found not guilty because you need 67 people to say he's guilty. But go ahead.
But I agree with you on that. Impeachment, you're right. It is a charge.
Yeah.
But if he's found guilty in the Senate, it is firing him from a job.
If he's found guilty, but he's not going to be. He's going to be found not guilty because they can't get 67 votes.
So what I'm saying is the rules of double jeopardy don't apply to that.
I believe they do. I believe they do. Richard, we have to have a conversation. You got to let me interject. I mean, as the host, if you don't let me interject, it's not going to work. I do believe that it's double jeopardy. I'll check with legal scholars, and you can as well. But at the end of the day, you try him on the charges. He's found not guilty. You're not going to try him on the same charges. If that were true, they would have done that to Bill Clinton, who they had plenty of evidence actually obstructed justice. Tell me why you agree with them. Let's stop the BS because you're trying to talk over me. I'm going to shut up so you can tell me why you agree with impeachment. Go ahead.
I agree with impeachment because, first up, Trump did not cooperate with Congress.
Doesn't have to. Obstruct. He doesn't have to.
Yes, he does.
Executive privilege actually says he doesn't have to. Richard, you're factually incorrect on that one. What else?
I'm trying to tell you, you don't know what you're talking about, brother.
Okay, so what part of executive privilege are you not understanding? He actually has the right to even turn down subpoenas as the chief executive. Do you not know that?
Privilege for everything.
I'm gonna put you on hold for a second. Carrie, am I doing something wrong on this phone call? I am trying to let the man tell me why he should be impeached.
I know. Trying to have a conversation.
He made a statement, and I responded, yes, under executive privilege, like Obama used on Eric Holder, he can turn down subpoenas. He doesn't have to cooperate. He doesn't have to do anything. He doesn't have to listen. This president actually went to the courts, and Adam Schiff and Jerry Nadler tried to pretend like him going to court was an obstruction of Congress, which it's not. He has the right to say no, Richard. That's verifiable. I just want you to tell me why you think he should be impeached. That angle isn't working. What about the other angle? Go ahead.
Why did Eric Holder show up? Eric Holder sat there for hours. They were grilled him for hours straight.
And didn't answer anything. You know what Eric Holder said? He said, I've never seen it. I don't know anything about it. I don't know anything about Fast and Furious. So this is new to me. Eric Holder lied his ass off. And then when documents were I'll let you go because you can't stop talking. Goodbye. So, and again, I wanted to have a conversation. I promise you, when somebody calls in and wants to disagree, I want them to disagree. At the end of the day, he didn't watch the Eric Holder stuff. Yes, Eric Holder went there, was snotty, was rude, was snide, didn't answer questions. And when they were requested, what was it, 100,000 documents, something like that, it was denied through executive privilege. Just do a little bit of legwork. The president of the United States has privilege, executive privilege, for information that he thinks that would harm his ability to lead if he fell for every scam and witch hunt in the Congress. He has that right. It's actually there, executive privilege. Look it up, find out what it covers. It actually even covers subpoenas. Having said all of that, I was willing to hear you make the case for why it is an abuse of power. Because the whole obstruction of Congress thing is bogus. That's an extra made-up charge because they don't have much on abuse of power. I was waiting for him to actually say, here's the abuse of power, and then I would have responded. Richard, here's the problem. You can't really have a conversation, even with like-minded people, if neither ever stops talking. You make an assertion, I want to respond. I make an assertion, I'll let you respond. But you weren't responding. You were just saying you were right and I was wrong, and that's not going to get us anywhere. I would have loved to hear why you think this man abused his power. Because, again, obstruction of Congress is illegitimate. And I think that you're smart enough to know that. Now, when it comes to double jeopardy, I don't know when it comes to impeachment. Certainly, they're calling it high crimes and misdemeanors. You can be tried for bribery, treason, high crimes, and misdemeanors. Those are all criminal charges. Well, you're telling me that treason and bribery and high crimes and misdemeanors, like a traffic ticket, that's not criminal? Of course it is. This isn't a civil case. This is a matter of finding somebody guilty or not guilty of criminal charges levied by the House of Representatives. I do believe due process and double jeopardy apply. I'm willing to be wrong about that. I'm not a legal scholar, although I try to learn as much as I can. So we'll figure that part out. But man, don't get hung up on that stuff. Can you imagine having dinner with Richard? Sounds like a nice enough guy.
Of course he does, yes. But if he's going to talk over you...
You won't be able to swallow any of your food. He'd be like...
Conversation.
Let's just really talk about it. And man, I have a great desire for people to call in and really give me a viable, honest challenge. Richard wants him to be impeached. I get that. A lot of people do. Richard really needs him to be impeached. I get that. A lot of people do. But just tell me why. And make it a legitimate reason that's based on fact. Not on your feelings, not on innuendo, or not on your ability to talk over somebody. Maybe in your house you could talk over people. On a Joe Pag show, oddly, this guy gets to have the loud microphone. I know, it's weird. They named it after me. It's 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Pam Bondi, when we come back. Stay right here.
You're listening to Joe Pag.
Setting a reminder before you forget.
Alexa, wake me up with 1200 WOAI on iHeartRadio.
It's as easy as that.
Where radio stations across the land, JoePags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all right there, plus Newsmax TV. It's the Joe Pags Show. Really glad to have you here. Really glad to have back the former Attorney General of the great state of Florida. She's now a special advisor to the president. It's Pam Bondi. Pam, how are you?
Hey, great. Thanks for having me on, Joe.
It's always a pleasure to have you on. All right, so we saw it go down today. I've never seen more feeble-looking people. It was a very odd picture, Pam, as we watched Nancy Pelosi and Jerry Nadler and Adam Schiff and Maxine Waters and these people, the bunch of sad sacks, standing in front of cameras, pretending, feigning that they were in mourning or they were feeling this solemn duty or oath that they had to uphold to impeach the president of the United States. Now, you as one of the top lawyers I've ever spoken to in my life and as the former attorney general and one of the smartest people I know, I got to ask you right up front, you're a prosecutor and somebody brings you a case and says, you know, Pam, I heard a guy tell another guy at lunch that another guy told him that he heard something on a phone call and I think we should prosecute. What do you do with that?
It's not even a close call. Let me take it a step further. If you got pulled over for speeding, you would have more rights than the president of the United States was afforded.
So
it's
true.
It's ridiculous what they're doing. From day one, and I just have to back up for 1 second since you said the words Maxine Waters. Why that woman was up there is beyond me.
Yeah.
That's the woman that keeps telling all of her constituents, everyone out there, to come attack all of us.
Right. And she from day one has been saying, impeach 45. I do an impersonation of Maxine Waters, sorry.
She promotes the violence
right.
to conservatives. It's unbelievable that I can't believe that she does that.
If you see them at the restaurant, if you see them at the gas station, if you see them out and about in the community, gather around them and shout them down.
That's what happened to me at the
movie theater.
I know. That's what happened to me because of her.
And it's what happened to Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who wanted to go and eat some dinner. It's what happened to Ted Cruz when he and his wife wanted to go eat some dinner.
Mitch McConnell.
Exactly right. And this somehow is okay in this day and age. So this feigning of a solemn oath and they hate to do it is a lie. They've been talking about doing this since the day the man won the election. So he has no rights. He has no due process. Go ahead.
No, Joe, you're wrong. They've been talking about doing this since he came down the escalator at Trump Tower and said he was running for office from before he was sworn in as president of the United States.
Right. And here we are. And they're actually attempting to do it. There's still some rumbling that it could end up in censure. But the articles of impeachment, let's break them down. One is abuse of power. Pam, you tell me, because I'm not as smart as you, and you've told me this all the time that I'm not.
No.
Exactly right.
All right, everyone. He's joking. You know that's not true.
Okay. Either way. The president abused power by calling a man and congratulating him for winning an election, inviting him to the White House, no strings attached, and saying, oh, by the way, could you do me a favor and look into this thing? Because I think there might have been corruption in the 2016 election. And I, as the president, want to make sure that I do my due diligence. It's part of my job to find out about corruption. Can you do me a favor? And guess what? Zelensky didn't do him a favor, did not feel any leverage. Zelensky himself says, no, there was no quid pro quo or any leverage, any bribery, any extortion. Mm-hmm. They're actually impeaching him. They want to. Because he obstructed justice in what I just explained. Do you know what's going on? Because I don't get it.
Well, and Joe, your statement of what the president said is a bit wrong, but it's not your fault because you probably believed Adam Schiff would have been
I did not buy that.
No,
I read the transcript, but you're right. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, the president said, do us a favor.
Yeah.
And then talked about the country, the American people and corruption. He said, do us a favor. And, you know, Schiff started that narrative with me, saying me instead of us.
Right.
So that's, you know, it kind of took on a life of its own.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, so abuse of power, you know, according to the articles, it has two elements. It has to be done for personal political benefit while either ignoring or harming the national interest. Now, the president was doing the opposite. He was looking out for our country, looking out for corruption. And, you know, from day one, what has the president said? We're getting too much aid to these countries who are corrupt, who aren't doing the right thing.
Right.
President Zelensky gets elected. He promised to run, you know, on an anti-corruption platform, but he was an unknown to any of us, to our country, to the world.
Yeah.
So what did he have to do? He had to prove himself, and he did. As time went on, a new parliament was seated. He got a new prosecutor general. He continued to do good things and prove himself, and I think he still is, you know, to the world. And so not only was aid released, but more aid than the Obama administration had ever given. You know, they just say blame. blanket aid.
Yeah.
You know, we gave them lethal aid, Javelin missiles, to defend themselves. So it's really unbelievable that the president was not only helping our country, but helping the world.
She's a special advisor to the president of the United States. It's Pam Bondi, former AG of the great state of Florida. What's interesting about that whole thing is Zelensky didn't have to give anything. He didn't have to do anything to get the invite to go to the White House. That happened in April. Didn't have to give anything to get the aid, which was eventually released after it was checked out to make sure that the aid made sense. He didn't start an investigation. He has not, as far as we know, investigated the Bidens. And by the way, Joe Biden wasn't then and isn't now a political rival of Donald Trump. He's not the nominee. He's not the guy running against the president in 2020. And the president was specifically talking about the previous election, which he already won, doesn't have to go back and relitigate. So why is it, as a prosecutor, as somebody who's a very smart individual, why do you think they're doing this? They know they have no chance, that it's a bogus charge.
Well, they know if it makes the Senate, that they're not going to prevail because they lost the 2016 election. They wish they could undo it, and they're not going to be able to. And they're trying to preempt the 2020 election by putting this huge stain on President Trump, saying you are running under the guise of impeachment.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable what they are doing to our president. You know what President Trump's doing? Working every day for the American people.
Yes.
You know, he's out there nonstop. I mean, I was with him yesterday. I see the president every day doing things for our country. That's unbelievable. You know, and we all, the president, had to yell and scream to finally get USMCA passed. It's been sitting on Pelosi's desk for 1 year.
Right.
And the president is bringing 176,000 jobs to our country and $60.2 billion. And, you know, that's what people care about. That's what all of the listeners care about. They care about, you know, funding our military,
right,
making their neighborhoods safe, unemployment at an all-time low, thanks to President Trump, 3.1, African-American unemployment, 5.1. You know, the president's doing great things for our country, and the Democrats' just disdain for him outweighs any good, all the good that's happening.
Approaching 7 million new jobs, over 500,000 manufacturing jobs. Obama said they were never coming back. We've got a GDP that is to die for. We've got women, Hispanic, and black unemployment, the lowest we've ever seen. And the workforce participation numbers going up, something that can change the unemployment rate and make it look fake and make it look good like under Obama because people are falling out of the workforce. It's Pam Bondi, special advisor to the president, former AG of the great state of Florida. So we talked about abuse of power, which is bogus. Obstruction of justice, as far as I understand, and correct me if I'm wrong, they're saying that he obstructed Congress because he refused to cooperate when the president, I thought, was using his due process available to him to go to the court system to challenge subpoenas. Can you really be charged with obstruction of Congress or justice if you challenge a subpoena the rightful way by going to court? Really? That's an obstruction?
I mean, this is so far-fetched and ridiculous. You know, really, that's what you've got after all this?
Yeah.
I guess they took it to a focus group like they did quid pro quo, and that came back bribery, which didn't apply either.
Right.
So I guess they took obstructing Congress to, you know, it's unbelievable. You know who the one who's committing obstruction? It's Nadler, Schiff, and Pelosi.
Yeah.
They're the ones who are obstructing. I mean, look at Schiff from day one holding secret hearings, not letting his Republican colleagues in the building where these secret hearings were happening and then leaking information,
right,
you know, and even everything in the light most favorable to them, the president did nothing wrong.
Well, I mean, the argument can be made, if we're going to take their tactic, that they're obstructing justice by trying to change the outcome of the 2020 election by doing all of this.
Exactly.
This obviously is politically motivated.
2016.
Well, they are.
And
all the evidence is there that they're trying to look. AOC has said if we don't impeach, he's going to get reelected. Al Green, representative from Houston, has said if we don't impeach, he's going to get reelected. Nancy Pelosi has alluded to that. And by the way, the best argument against Nancy Pelosi is Nancy Pelosi from 21 years ago. The best argument against Jerry Nadler is Jerry Nadler from 21 years ago. Panda, do you think they thought we didn't see that video, that we wouldn't have that available to us?
You know, it's really unbelievable what they were thinking. I think they were just so blinded by their disdain for the president that they didn't care. You know, think about this. If Congress can impeach a president on the grounds that he interfered with its sole power of impeachment, then shouldn't the president at least have the recourse to the courts for an injunction on the grounds that this whole impeachment proceeding is interfering with the equally important sole power to
exactly.
take care of the laws of the country that are faithfully executed? So, I mean, it's... It would be comical if it wasn't horrendous what they're doing, not only to the president, but to the country, and really to the 63 million people who elected the president.
Right. Anyone in electoral landslide, basically. It is former AG of the great state of Florida and special advisor to the president, Pam Bondi. As a legal mind, and again, as a prosecutor, as you see this whole thing go down and you see this sham that it is, would this have been thrown out by a judge by now because of hearsay over hearsay over hearsay? Is there a legal recourse for the president since he wasn't offered any due process?
Well, it's first of all, it never would have made it this far. Yeah. Never, ever, ever. That's why Schiff started it this way. That's why Nadler continued it this way. It would have never made it this far. You know, the president said this should not go to the Senate because he did nothing wrong. We agree. You know, in the beginning, the Democrats were thinking, oh, how many Republicans can we get? Now they're worried about how many Democrats they can keep when this thing goes to a vote. So if the president's saying, hey, if you're going to vote soon, get it to the Senate where I can have a fair trial. Because the president wants to be heard. He wants his witnesses to be heard. And that's where hopefully we believe we can have some fairness in this sham process that should have never taken place. Every day on TV, Americans are watching this instead of getting the country's business done. But you know what President Trump's doing? He's doing the country's business.
Yeah.
He's continuing on with everything, all the great things he's doing for America.
One last angle, and I appreciate the time. It's Pam Bondi from the White House, where I understand the weather stinks today, and I'm sorry, but I'm glad that you're inside, but I'm sorry, it's horrible outside. One last question, though. If it should go to the Senate, I'm not sure that it's going to, but if it does, Mitch McConnell has said he's going to have a six-week or even longer trial. They're going to really do due process and cross every T and dot every I, whereas I almost think it might be more effective just to say, no, this is frivolous, get rid of this. What's the best tactic should it go to the Senate? And I know the president has already indicated that he would cooperate with any sort of a Senate hearing or trial or procedure. What should happen, do you think? Should they really drag it out and call Schiff and call Pelosi and call Nadler and make them all testify or call the whistleblower? What should happen?
Well, it shouldn't even be to the Senate. You
Agreed.
Know, it's not even okay to go to the Senate.
Okay.
But having said that, the president wants to be heard. Don't you want to hear from Adam Schiff? I sure do.
Totally.
I think the whole world would be fighting over who could cross-examine Adam Schiff. the whistleblower, Hunter Biden, that's the basis for this whole craziness, how it began. So the president wants to be heard, and that's where we can have a fair hearing in the Senate. But there is absolutely nothing there.
And by the way, and I'll just make the, and if you want to comment, fine, but I'm going to predict 15 Democrats will vote against impeaching him. There are 31 Democrats that won in Trump districts. They're all in trouble. If they all vote to impeach the guy, they're done. The House goes back to the Republicans in 2020. Nancy Pelosi's not dumb. I think that she'll have just less than half of them allow them to vote against impeachment. Any thoughts on that?
Well, you know, those 31 that you talked about, they're in conservative districts, and you know, they ran on the things that we talked about, you know, lower taxes, protecting, giving our military the proper funding, jobs, the economy, and you know, I think they care about what their constituents think, hopefully more than what Nancy Pelosi, Adam Schiff, and Jerry Nadler care about.
Yeah, I agree. And a special advisor to the president, former AG, the great state of Florida, it's Pam Bondi. Pam, thanks a million. I know you're a little under the weather. Thanks for doing this today.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye. We're back after this on the Joe Pags Show. Stay right here.
Joe Pags.
News Radio 1200 WOAI.
Great to have you. The Joe Pags Show, 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. It's all right there. Glad to have you along for the ride. Thanks a lot for stopping by. Interesting questions on impeachment and double jeopardy and the Fifth Amendment and all that. We'll get into that in a moment. We'll make sure that we make that happen for sure. Again, 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. We appreciate Pam Bondi stopping by and bringing great information, great knowledge to the program tonight. Got to remind you about Omaha Steaks. And this great favorite gift package that you still have time to grab before the holidays. I mean, they're right around the corner, you know that. But you've got to make this happen. This is a company been around for a very long time. Fifth generation company, been serving incredible meats from Omaha, Nebraska, all that time, over 100 years now. And we get it all the time at the Pags house, and we enjoy the heck out of it, and I can't wait to get the next order. Right now, you get a special gift on top of it, the favorite gift package, the gift everyone will love for only $69.99. Here's the thing, 4 6-ounce bacon-wrapped filet mignons, 4 premium pork chops, 4 Omaha Steaks burgers, 4 potatoes au gratin, 4 caramel apple tartlets, Omaha Steaks signature seasoning packet, plus, because you listen to my program or watch, you get a free 6-piece cutlery set and cutting board, too. All the delicious food, plus the free cutlery set they're going to enjoy for years to come. Only $69.99. Omaha Steaks, the most tender, most flavorful, and you can only get them. There's great steaks of this quality from Omaha Steaks, so jump on this now. OmahaSteaks.com. Put P-A-G-S in the search bar. OmahaSteaks.com. P-A-G-S in the search bar. Get this incredible deal right now. $69.99. You'll be very glad that you did. All right, so as far as Double Jeopardy, Richard is right and wrong, but he seems to be more right than wrong. Richard said that Double Jeopardy didn't apply to impeachment. I said I thought it did, but I was willing to be wrong about that. There are some scholars at Harvard who actually are writing, and they've got papers saying, well, really it kind of does apply because it's about crimes. High crimes and misdemeanors, bribery and treason are in fact crimes. You're trying this elected official on crimes, but it's not a jury trial, and life and limb is what the Fifth Amendment says about needs to be in jeopardy. If they're risking life and limb by being tried again on the same exact charges, then they can't be. Well, the argument is life and limb being put in jeopardy or at risk? The answer is, well, you could say no, because he's not going to go to jail if he's removed from office. So that's the argument against it being double jeopardy. The argument for it being double jeopardy is it's supposed to protect you from being charged on the same evidence in the same crime. And again, even the wording of the article on impeachment says it's a high crime or misdemeanor. So it's up for grabs. It looks, though, that most people agree with Richard on this, and I'm willing to be man enough to say that. Let me go to Drew. I've only got about 35, 40 seconds, but it's all yours. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say, I think that they ought to retry Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton. I think the people that's the Democrats that's causing all this trouble are to be checked out, too. And I want to thank President Trump for all his good work, everything that people has closed their eyes to, cannot see because they don't want to. How President Trump give up his salary and donated it to help cancer victims and what have you.
I got you. I got to run. I appreciate you, Drew. Thanks for taking the time. Got to go on TV. We continue on radio. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pag.
Now, live from the WOAI studios in San Antonio, it's the Joe Pag Show.
This is the Joe Pag Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Great radio stations across the land, JoePags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, it's all right there. Plus, the live video stream, glad to have you along for the ride. The Joe Pags Show, glad to have you here on a Tuesday.
It's Taco Tuesday.
Yes, it is. Uh-huh. I'm never going to forget, so whatever. You guys look so filled with joy when this song comes on.
Mm-hmm. Hate it.
Now me and Polo, we like the hot sauce. Joe like chorizo, cause he's the boss.
Uh-huh.
Bean and cheese sparks.
Right.
From Carrie Lockie.
You know it.
No.
She's full of corn, tortillas, and beans. It's Taco Tuesday on the Joe Pag Show. It's Taco Tuesday on the Joe Pag Show. I'm eating tacos with Polo.
Taco Tuesday. Taco Tuesday.
That's right.
Taco Tuesday.
Taco. All right, Polo, let's go. Let's make it happen.
Taco.
Wow, didn't even hesitate today. Did you look at her?
No. Nope.
Didn't hesitate? Nope. Brought it pretty well, I'd say. It was pretty good. All good. Hey, look, the song's never going away. You could just start playing along, couldn't you?
No, never, because I hate that song.
Just start playing along.
No, I shan't.
Wow, what?
I shan't, no.
Why shan't you?
Because I hate that song.
Why? It's fun.
Bean
and
cheese.
Why can't you let the fun happen for the people?
From Kerry Lockie? No. No.
Truth hurts, I guess.
It's not truthful.
Truth hurts.
No.
888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. You know, a lot of interest in impeachment. We'll get back to it with Mark Lotter at the bottom of the hour. And again, let me reiterate what I said at the end of last hour. There is an argument about whether impeachment and conviction or a verdict of not guilty in the Senate would be subject to double jeopardy. Then the House couldn't bring the same charges. It appears most people who are legal scholars seem to think that double jeopardy doesn't apply to impeachment. But I found a couple of scholars that are saying, well, I don't know. It's supposed to be protect you from being charged with the same crimes. But the argument is you don't go to jail if you're convicted in the Senate, although you could be if you're convicted in the Senate, then brought up on the same charges in a criminal court. It's all very strange. It is a criminal proceeding, although not a criminal court proceeding. So it is about crimes and misdemeanors and bribery and treason and all that. But there isn't punishment of I'm going to throw you in jail. The punishment is you're removed. Then they could bring it up again. So the long and short of it, it sounds like a good argument could be made that even if he's found not guilty, they'll do it again. Now, Carrie, therein lies the question. You know, honorable news person, do you find that to be likely that they would try him again if he were found not guilty?
Oh, I don't know. I could see that. I could see it happening. They would certainly try.
Too.
Yeah. I think that's a possibility.
It should be stunning, but it's not.
I know.
At some point they have to take the loss. They refuse. That's what
I don't think so.
The
they're never going to give up.
They're refusing to take the loss. And that is so weird to me. All right, also weird to me, I guess you can't say Father Christmas. Now, in England, daddy-o, bloody hell, mm-hmm. Lolly in the trolley.
Mm-hmm.
They don't call him Santa Claus. They call him Father Christmas.
Yes.
I guess you can't call him Father Christmas.
Exactly.
That's
not PC, apparently.
Huh.
From The Blaze, a mother from Plymouth, England, says she was scolded online for daring to mention Father Christmas and informed Santa Claus is now seen as gender neutral. The Plymouth Herald reported on the alleged incident last week and quoted the unnamed mother as telling them, I've just been shamed on a Facebook group for using the name Father Christmas and told that Santa is now seen as gender neutral. I was only referring to the book below, Father Christmas by Raymond Briggs, but it's left me a little confused, on edge, about what we are allowed to say. The mother added, I have a small child and don't really want to raise him saying Father Christmas if it's hurtful to some. The original message stream on Facebook has not been disclosed, but as other media outlets have picked up on the story, a debate over the incident has gained momentum online. Fox News reported one user reacted by saying of Santa, seriously, he's a guy, quite clearly a guy. I would have bitten back by calling him St. Nicholas, to be honest. The clue's in the name, Nicholas, not Nicola. Another, glad my kids grew up knowing Father Christmas is based on St. Nick, a man, all for personal identities and encouraging it, but come on, how messed up is this world we live in? And there was at least one person out of the hundreds that reportedly weighed in who agreed on ditching the name Father Christmas, which is the common name for Santa in Great Britain. I must be the only one who hates Father Christmas, the anonymous user wrote. I much prefer Santa Claus, plus it's easier for littles to say. If reporting on the debate's accurate, it appears the name Father Christmas is safe for continued use across the pond, at least for now. According to Unilad, there has been a push in the UK to rename Father Christmas as Person Christmas in recent years.
No.
Person Christmas?
No, it's not. There's no push to do that.
Oh, boy.
Tell me there's no push to do that.
There is. I'm not lying.
Person Christmas.
Person Christmas.
How many stories can we cite right now? Where we've actually said we can't call that, like, Batwoman. Got to be Batperson.
Mm-hmm. And there are dozens
out
there.
How many stories that refer to women that we have to stop calling them by their gender or their sex?
Mm-hmm.
There's
a ton
out
there.
It appears to be, if the character is a male, that character should no longer be male. Like 007, allegedly the next movie is going to be a female. Why? I don't understand. Why can't it be a guy? Ghostbusters had to be a new cast and it had to be all women. Why? What was wrong with the way that it worked before? Was there something wrong with it? And they call Santa Claus, Kris Kringle, Father Christmas, the jolly old elf. Why do we have, why is the gender up for grabs? Is there a reason why we do, does the story at all say why we have to stop calling it a male?
No.
Are there any women, females, girls out there listening or watching who are offended by Santa Claus being a guy? Let's go to the women on staff. Carrie, you offended by Santa Claus being a dude?
No.
Santa Claus, dude.
No.
Problem?
Mm-mm.
You're saying no then?
No.
I mean, what are we talking about here? What on earth are we talking about? I simply don't understand, and I want to understand. I want to make sure that I'm getting it, but I'm not. So, I mean, I don't mind people being up in arms or offended or feeling something is intolerant if they can explain why it is. Then I can examine it as a person who's got a brain and figure it out. I'm having a hard time figuring this out. And that's where I am with it. It's very strange. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. Your thoughts on the fact that calling him Father Christmas somehow is offensive or wrong? When we come back, stay right here.
Joe Pags.
News Radio 1200 WOAI.
Available everywhere with the iHeartRadio app. Now number one for podcasting. WOAI, an iHeartRadio station.
Joe Pags Show, 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. There's a lot going on, and we've got Mark Lotter at the bottom of the hour. Make sure that you stick around. Mark Lotter is the Director of Strategic Communications for Trump 2020, and that's a big deal. And we talked to him about a lot of stuff, a lot of things to get to. There's also a move to ban plastic bags in Massachusetts and New Jersey. To be honest, I don't care. You know what I mean? You know what I mean, Carrie? If they want to ban plastic bags, that is not a top priority for me to argue against.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Fine. Whatever. Okay. I mean, if they're not biodegradable, if you're finding that they are, you know, causing an issue, ban plastic bags. Now, ban plastic straws, I think that's kind of stupid, to be honest with you. Unless there's a better alternative. But you can get a paper bag and do it all day. Sure. I guess you can buy one of those stupid knit bags that you bring every time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing wrong with that, which is, I mean, to me, that's just kind of dumb. It's kind of dumb. There's also a move by Senator Rand Paul. He's calling for a ban on Congress from obtaining phone records of journalists and members of Congress. I mean, unless there's some sort of criminal charge or criminal probe where you've got a real charge and a real reason for a subpoena and a warrant. Yeah, no, I don't think you should be able to get a journalist's phone records. And the left has been doing this for a while. You know, cite Cheryl Atkinson, who we've had on this program. James Rosen, who we've had on this program. And now, who's the latest one? I can't think of his name. I can picture him, but I can't think of his name. But he was part of some conversation with Devin Nunes, and there's nothing wrong with the phone calls. But why is it that Adam Schiff has access to a fellow member, Devin Nunes's phone records, along with this journalist that he happened to be talking to about a case they're working on? That's very, very weird to me. Right now, though, Father Christmas, you can't call him Father Christmas because, for God's sakes, he can't be a dude. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. JoePags.com. Edward is in Texas. Hi, Edward. What's going on? Hi.
Hey, how you doing, Joe?
Living the dream, man. What's happening?
It's Father Christmas stuff, man. I mean, come on. These people got to get over themselves. They really got to focus on other topics besides changing names of everything that we grew up with. I mean, they made the people that we are today, from the past all the way to now, Father Christmas, Santa Claus, Saint Nick, whatever they call them. I mean, it's a god. It's always been a guy, always been a fat, jolly old elf, not whatever it, maybe we could call it it, I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying that they got to get more important things to deal with than changing names of what we all grew up with. I'm just saying.
You and I cannot agree more. I appreciate that. Open line now, 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. Usually you get public opinion to be pretty high, and then after public opinion sort of agrees with where you're coming from, then you can kind of hang your hat on it. But that's not happening here. It's not happening at all. Public opinion appears to be, and I don't think I'm making this up, that this is dumb. Leave Santa Claus alone. Leave Christmas alone. Why are you making this argument? Why are you going there? What is your problem exactly? And you never really get a good answer, but the problem is a lot of people jump on board. And they say, you know, we're just going to do it because Hollywood says it's right. Music says it's right. The legacy media says it's right. Academia says it's right. And if they're all saying it, eventually we'll get a generation that just is a bunch of drones that agree with us. And that's really what we're headed for. And it's a damn shame. It's 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Let me go to Joshua in San Antonio. Joshua, what's going on? Hi.
Joe, I'm thinking that we haven't taken this far enough. See, Santa, I believe, is a Spanish word. So thereby, Santa Claus is involved in cultural appropriation. And then candy canes, now you're talking about the handicap. So we need to call them, like, you know, hook-shaped candies. Just not taking it far enough.
It's a great job making the attempt to make the reach, and very funny, to be honest, Joshua. Thank you. Good stuff. Good stuff. Culturally appropriating Spanish or Latins or Latinos or Latinx. You have to be right about that. Latinx, Carrie, I think it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Latinx. Be very, very careful about that. And also, what did he say? Hooked candies? Candies with a hook? Something like that?
Yeah, hook-shaped candy, I guess.
Can't call them candy cane because the dancer at the strip club down the road, she'd be very upset that you're using her name for this candy. Not that I would know. The candy cane works down the street. It's 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. There might be a candy cane. I have no idea.
I'm sure there are. Probably.
Ask me, Carrie, the last time I was in a strip club. Go ahead.
When was the last time you were in a strip club?
I was 18 and in college, and I was scared to death of the people, the women in there. No idea what the hell I was doing. Let me go back to the phone lines. It's going to be Tommy in Minneapolis. Tommy, talk to me. Santa Claus, call him Mr. They.
It's just crazy. My comment on this, Joe, is that, you know, when things are going so good, our economy's great, everything's great, people start looking for things to screw up. It happens every time things are going good. They just can't leave it alone.
I hear you, and I think you're right. And I think that they're trying to say, although things are going economically okay, but, you know, big bad orange man is going to profit from it all. Even though things are going well, look how morally corrupt we are. Look how horribly, you know, morally inept we are. We're just in a bad, horrible moral place. And I know that because you're forcing me to believe that Santa Claus, the jolly old elf, is Saint Nick, is somehow a man. And for you to make me believe that he's somehow a man, you're basically telling me that my gender doesn't matter. And it's interesting because it's always women that bring up these charges and men who want to be with those women. There are women who for some reason feel, negated in society because Santa Claus is a guy or because the Ghostbusters were men. Carrie, do you feel negated in society because there are men who are playing characters or who are part of our Americana?
No, of course not. No. No.
It doesn't mean that you're worth somehow less than you really are because of it?
Mm-mm. No. Nope.
I mean, to me, it's at some point, somebody's going to say, stop it, pass the potatoes. We go to Josh, who is in San Antonio. Josh, what's up?
Well, Father Christmas isn't a man anymore. Does that mean that Mother Nature is not a woman?
No. If it's a woman, that's good, and it should always be a woman. If it's a man, it should have been a woman, and man bad. Yeah, you're not following, Josh.
Oh, no, I follow. I'm just saying the same people who say that Father Christmas can't be a man should very easily be able to agree that Mother Nature can't be a woman, right?
I was being sarcastic and kidding with you. Of course I agree with you. It is 888-94. Carrie, is my sarcasm not working today? Is my sarcasm
detector not on? I
guess it
did not work with that last.
That was pretty good, wasn't it? I thought that was very direct to my sarcasm.
You call her person nature.
In the minute and a half we have remaining, give me that full story on Rand Paul, please, if you don't mind. I sent it to the group chat. It would be great to outline what he's doing because it really does show what Adam Schiff and the left has been doing as far as surveilling people and checking their phone records and so on.
From the Blaze, Senator Rand Paul told reporters Monday he's taking a look at committee rule changes to restrict Congress from obtaining the phone data of lawmakers and members of the press after House Democrats published call records purportedly linked to Representative Devin Nunes and investigative journalist John Solomon. Senator Paul is reacting to the House Intelligence Committee led by Chairman Adam Schiff, publicizing the call and text records of Nunes and Solomon along with personal phone data from President Donald Trump's personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, as part of Democrats' impeachment probe against the president. Schiff has not explained why or how he obtained the records. Congress has no rules. It's not illegal for Adam Schiff to do this, Paul told reporters, according to Politico. It's highly immoral or unfair for him to do it. No one else has ever done it to another member or a journalist. I think we need to change the rules. And the Kentucky Republican said he's looking at placing restrictions on Congress through the revision of committee rules, adding, nobody should get your phone records. This is a big deal. This is a huge deal. Senator Paul also took issue with the lack of outrage from the press over Solomon's phone records being obtained by Schiff, telling reporters there hasn't been enough calls from some of you people about protecting your own. And Solomon's work is repeatedly cited in impeachment probe documentation, and he has faced attacks and been accused of peddling Russian propaganda for his extensive investigative work exposing an appearance of a conflict of interest on the part of former Vice President Joe Biden, the Epoch Times reported.
I mean, Rand Paul, to me, is an anomaly. I got to be honest. Well, he's an enigma, to be honest with you. I love the guy, I hate the guy. You know, what I mean? I think that he does great work, and I think sometimes he goes off the rails, and it makes him seem, you know, a little bit more minimized, which I don't like. But he really does appear to be, to me, and I'm not really asking for your opinion, just, I don't know, just throwing it out there, to be a libertarian. He's a guy who really does believe in the civil rights that we all have. He believes in the Constitution. And because of that, he gets pummeled both verbally and, I guess, physically by his neighbors and everything. But, I mean, he's right. And he's like one of the people who is not afraid to show his face and show his name and say, I'm blowing the whistle on you, Schiff. You shouldn't be doing this. Does that make sense?
It does, yes. I would agree with that.
Got to have him back on soon. Sam, let's get Rand Paul back on soon.
Good idea.
Call our guy. Make that happen. It is 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. We come back. Mark Lotter, MARC_LOTTER on Twitter. He is the Director of Strategic Communications for Trump 2020. We're going to talk about the rally tonight in Pennsylvania happening right now and much more. Stay here.
Don't be an A-dub. Stay with the Joe Pag.
Before your head hits the pillow, hit up your smart speaker.
Alexa, wake me up with 1200 WOAI on iHeartRadio.
I set your alarm.
Great radio stations across the land, JoePags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all right there, Newsmax TV as well. It's the Joe Pags Show. Glad to have you here. Really glad to have this guy back. He's the Director of Strategic Communications for Trump 2020. It's Mark Lotter. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing great, Joe. How are you?
Well, you know, you're doing great, but you've got more energy than like the Energizer Bunny. I can't believe how much the campaign has going on right now, and they've got you running like crazy, but you always sound energized to me. Everything's good?
Yeah, absolutely. We got to keep up with the boss, and he's got more energy than all of us. So,
what is that all about? It's amazing to see what he pulls off from flying here and there, and negotiating deals, dealing with this impeachment crap. Time to tweet when he needs to, and also, you know, going and doing these rallies, which are amazing. Let's start with obviously what happened today. I call the picture that I saw, and I posted this earlier on Twitter, a picture of sad sex. I find it to be embarrassing, that picture of Nancy Pelosi and Maxine Waters and Jerry Nadler and Adam Schiff and the like standing there. Mark pretending to be upset and just filled with mourning and sorrow because they have to do their solemn duty and impeach the president on two articles of impeachment that don't mean anything. There was no abuse of power. There was no obstruction of Congress. But, I mean, did you see that picture or the video when Nancy Pelosi was announcing it and Jerry Nadler was announcing it? And did you get the same feeling I did that, man, they look defeated?
Yeah, this acting was so bad, you'd have to give them one of those raspberries that get horrible movies in Hollywood. I mean, they've been talking about doing this for 2.5-3 years now. There's no acting there. There's no solemnness. They were, you know, they brought this process. They're the only ones who own it. And it didn't really matter what they tried to find, because every time they came up with something, I mean, they told us for 2.5 years collusion.
Yeah.
No, that's not it.
Right.
Then it was quid pro quo. No, that's not it. They focus grouped and polled. Bribery was the one we're going with. No, that's not it.
Right.
No extortion. And so the only thing they can come up with is, you know, are these two articles of impeachment. The American people see right through it. And I have a feeling it'll get to the Senate, they'll give it its due diligence, and then they will just discard it right where it goes.
Quid pro quo is something that's easy to put aside because it's Latin and people understand it. But when you say bribery, you're using a real legal term now. And they realized that they couldn't use that term because they had no material evidence that would suggest anything like bribery. So they had to make it go away. I mean, it was almost a point, to the point of libelous or slanderous, to say that he committed bribery when there was absolutely zero proof. Do you think that's why they went away from it?
No, absolutely. But again, I think that even the current case that they're trying to make also fails to meet any kind of standard.
Yeah.
There was a great piece over the weekend in Real Clear Politics where someone identified at least 6 different occasions where the Obama administration ignored requests for subpoena for witnesses, ignored requests for documents, and they weren't impeaching Barack Obama over that.
Right.
There has always been a give and take between the executive branch and the legislative branch in terms of what documents and witnesses can be brought forward.
Right.
But in this case, they are so driven and consumed by Trump derangement syndrome that this is the only thing they could hang their hats on to impeach the president.
Director of Strategic Communications for Trump 2020, it's Mark Lotter, MARC_LOTTER over on Twitter. Go and follow him right now. The charges of obstruction of Congress are lunacy. They're claiming he obstructed them because he decided that he would take the legal steps to challenge in court subpoenas for members of his administration. And again, as you said, executive privilege can be used. I remember Eric Holder being covered by Barack Obama's executive privilege when it came to Fast and Furious and many other issues as well. And like you said, nobody ever questioned that. This president, though, wasn't afforded the same due process, and allegedly he doesn't have the same executive privileges that Barack Obama and previous presidents had. How does that work in their brains, Dion? And I don't want to scare you by getting into their heads, but what do you think the tactic was all about, Mark? Because clearly the man had no due process. Clearly he had no 14th Amendment rights. And clearly he didn't obstruct anything. He was just taking the proper process and the proper due diligence in challenging what they were asking for.
And standing up for the office of the presidency and the White House for future presidents.
Yeah.
Let's not forget that. But you even had Adam Schiff try to defend this today by saying, well, you know, if they would have gone to court and we would have fought them in court, it would have taken a long time to get this done. And so this is nothing more than just a political stunt.
Yeah.
Because their only clock is the election calendar for next year. They have no interest in the truth. They have no interest in the facts. And let's remember also that you have Adam Schiff, who answered a phone call supposedly from senior Ukrainian government officials who offered dirt on Donald Trump. He offered to have a meeting at the Ukrainian embassy to get that dirt.
Right.
And now he's supposedly the one who's leading the impeachment charge against Donald Trump for actually trying to investigate the appearance of impropriety by the then sitting vice president of the United States.
And by the way, Adam Schiff, the same guy who alleges that he had no idea who the whistleblower was, either before the report came out or even now, when we know that he and his staff actually knew of this guy, met with this guy, and might have helped to craft the actual report, the third-person hearsay report that the so-called whistleblower put out there. So the guy's a liar. We know that that's the case. But if I heard you right, Mark, what Adam Schiff said today, and correct me if I'm wrong, is yes, of course we were trying to get a rush to judgment.
No, absolutely. And it's because of politics. And that is plain and simple. And you had Al Green say it. You've had AOC say it. You have had Nancy Pelosi insinuate it.
Yeah.
That if we don't impeach this president, he will be reelected. That's what this is about. You see it in the polls, and they are just driven to do this because they've got no other answer to a growing economy, a strong military, NATO finally starting to pay up, those countries starting to pay their fair share. All of the things that the president ran on that he's delivering on, they've got no answer for. So
right.
This is the only thing they can do. It's the only thing they have left.
Director of Strategic Communications for Trump 2020 is Mark Lotter, MARC_LOTTER over on Twitter. Go and follow him. The other charge, of course, is abuse of power. The alleged abuse of power, Mark, is that he called Zelensky to congratulate him, said, can you do us a favor, and looking into corruption, possible and potential corruption in the 2016 election. Of course, Zelensky didn't do any of it, did not investigate, did not announce an investigation, did not give us anything. And saying, can you do us a favor, does not, in my opinion, suggest abuse of power. Now, of course, one of these liberal lawyers last week said it's an abuse of power. It's an assumed abuse of power because the United States has the power and Ukraine doesn't. Well, holy crap, Mark, I had no idea. So if you're in a position of power and you ask me anything, you're abusing your power?
You know, I mean, and that just flies in the face of how presidents of both parties conduct foreign relations.
Right.
We use international aid, our foreign assistance, to encourage behavior on that of other countries. Whether it was Barack Obama who withheld congressionally approved aid, unless Congress did what, or those countries did what he wanted them to do,
right,
or George W. Bush or Jimmy Carter, going all the way back, it is exactly how we do. And by the way, Ukraine is one of the most corrupt countries in the world. This was a non-political candidate who'd been elected on a platform of fighting corruption,
yeah,
and we needed to make sure that he was going to be serious about it.
And by the way, the allegation that he did this abuse of power in order to help himself personally in 2020 is made up. It's completely made up. It's fake, because the president was talking about potential corruption that happened in 2016. He's already won that election. And also calling Joe Biden his political rival is a lie. Joe Biden is not the nominee. He's a guy who announced after all this even started that he was even running. His political rivals are those on the Democrat stage with him at these debates. So this is a reach by every stretch of the imagination. Why exactly do you think they're doing it? Is it just to get the scarlet eye for next year's election? Is that it?
I think that's entirely their point. They want to be able to tell their radical base that they impeached him and then probably blame Mitch McConnell,
yeah,
for not having him removed from office, which is their standard playbook. And they've got to show something to that base because they've accomplished nothing else. And we're now understanding, I mean, it should be noted that within an hour of announcing these articles of impeachment, they suddenly reach an agreement to pass the USMCA,
yeah,
which
that
they have been holding up for a year.
Yeah.
because they know that their moderate, so-called moderate members are getting crushed in their home districts because they have come to Washington and accomplished nothing. And this deal helps American workers. It helps American farmers. And now, of course, the radicals are pushing back on Nancy for giving Donald Trump a win.
It's crazy. It's Mark Lauder, Director of Strategic Communications, Trump 2020. One last thing on impeachment. I'll get into a couple of other things before I have to let you go. But the bottom line is you've got 31 Democrats in Trump 1 conservative districts who are in peril. I believe, and tell me if you agree, that this will be a bipartisan vote against impeachment. It will be a partisan vote for impeachment. You agree?
Absolutely. I don't see any Republicans in the House of Representatives crossing over on this. You will have Democrats crossing over to vote no. And I think you're going to get Democrats voting no in the Senate as well,
yeah,
because they know what a horrible precedent this sets when it becomes the first modern impeachment in modern history done strictly on partisan basis. Both with Nixon and Clinton, you had bipartisan support. Nancy even said you had to have bipartisan support this year. But apparently once she started seeing the polls, she knew they were doomed. And so she's gone ahead with it on a strictly partisan basis all by themselves.
It's Mark Lauder. Mark, I'm wondering, the IG report, we've only got a short amount of time to talk about it. I want to get into this to the rally in Pennsylvania. But the IG report came out. The Democrats claim, and Comey claims, and McCabe claims, that they are now completely exonerated. The IG found nothing wrong, nothing to see here. Have a nice day. We were right the whole time. Is that true?
Absolutely not. They'd be like celebrating a win at the end of the third quarter. There's still a quarter left, and when John Durham releases his report, I think America's going to see exactly what happened here. Look, we've got to remember that the IG found 17 instances where the FBI, the Department of Justice, falsified information,
right,
gave incomplete information, withheld information from the FISA courts. They misled judges to use the power of the police state and the surveillance abilities of the United States government to spy on American citizens, and it's going to be exposed. They have already been called out by the IG,
right,
and I think that's just the first shoe to drop.
It's Mark Lauder, M-A-R-C underscore L-O-T-T-E-R over on Twitter. The president's out there doing these rallies, and they're amazing. The turnout is crazy good. Since the impeachment talk started, his approval rating is going through the roof. When you see these rallies, like in Pennsylvania, still a battleground state, and he's going to several battleground states, are you buoyed by what you see? Because the people don't seem to be mired in what Washington's doing. They're actually paying attention to his accomplishments.
Absolutely. You see that? I mean, people have been lining up all day, standing in the rain to get into this rally tonight.
Yeah.
And on top of that, what I've also seen, you won't see as much coverage of it, is the vice president has been doing a bus tour across Pennsylvania today. And everywhere he stopped, he talked to people who were thanking this administration for what they're doing to improve their lives, to protect and honor our veterans. And then he'll meet the president up tonight in Hershey, Pennsylvania. It'll be a raucous crowd. It'll be like a rock concert, as most of his rallies are.
Well, the thing is, he wins Pennsylvania, and he wasn't supposed to, because Pennsylvanians took a chance and said, we're going to believe him. The thing is, Mark, he's done it. Look at the jobs numbers last week. Almost 7 million new jobs. You've got over 500,000 manufacturing jobs that Obama said would never come back. Black, Hispanic, and female unemployment, the lowest we've ever seen, and it's holding steady there. And the most employed people we've ever had ever in this country. So people in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan that took a chance, they actually were right.
And you're right. You're absolutely right. And an even more important number, wages have continued to go up. That's
right.
People's paychecks.
Right.
3%, 1% last month. 16 straight months where we have had more than 3% growth in people's paychecks. That's not even counting the tax cuts. That's more money for people to be able to spend on their kids, save for vacation, retirement, pay down credit cards. Those are the things that motivate people when they go to the polls next year.
And the left has no argument against that.
None whatsoever, except they want to take away more of your money, tax it, give it to illegal immigrants for free, health care, and free everything else, apparently. It's a free-for-all, but we'll fight and we'll win that argument.
I always appreciate the access. It's Mark Lauder. He is the Director of Strategic Communications, Trump 2020. Safe travels, my man. Keep up the great work. Thanks.
Absolutely. Talk to you soon, Joe.
All right. Back after this on the Joe Pags Show. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Tools you need to face the day. Like traffic.
Because I need to get to and from work every day
to know what to expect.
News Radio 1200 WOAI.
That's right. The Joe Pags Show, 888-941-PAGS. JoePags.com. Go there for Facebook, for Twitter, for Instagram. The email address is right there. Sponsors, got it listed there as well. And make sure that you stop by and check out the new Joe Pags Show merch, the merchandise. Just click on store, or you can put in joepags.com/store. A lot of people have ordered. I don't know. I mean, it's not like, you know, thousands of people, but a lot of people have ordered, Carrie. A lot of people.
I know. And
like the mugs.
Like I said, that's what I'm telling you. I think I'm going to get a couple of those. I mean, they make for some great Christmas gifts, especially if you're a Pagsy fan.
Hello. So. Mm-hmm. Everybody in your family except you is. So
my mother is a huge fan. I think that's who I'm going to get that for.
Your mom?
She's not listening. Yeah.
I don't think I've ever met your mom. Can I meet your mother at some point?
You have not. She absolutely adores you.
Hello?
Even aside from what I've told her, she loves you.
Why are you being mean? I've been nice to you all day.
She loves you.
We won't say any names, but I was getting a lot of love this weekend too at the mall. I'm just saying.
I witnessed that. Yes.
Well, you complained about it.
I didn't complain about it. I just pointed it out.
They love them some Pagsy, huh? I'm like, why be jealous? They weren't giving you chocolate boys love.
I wasn't jealous. I was just, you know.
I don't know. There's something going on there.
Funny. Hmm.
Okay, let me tell people about Omaha Steaks. Omaha Steaks obviously is an amazing company. We only eat the best stuff at the Pags house. We've worked hard for it. Why not? So you should do the same thing. Omaha Steaks, by the way, great meats, great desserts, great family. Been doing it for 5 generations, 100+ years. And also an incredible price. They've got something they're calling the favorite gift package. You still have time before the holidays to get this done. $69.99 is the price. You have to go to omahasteaks.com and put in my name, P-A-G-S, right there in the search bar. You can get this great deal. We love them at my house. You're going to love them as well. You can get this jump on the holiday shopping. In fact, it's still available because a lot of you already started your holiday shopping. You can still get this delivered. The favorite gift package, the gift everyone's going to love. 4 6-ounce bacon-wrapped filet mignons, 4 premium pork chops, 4 Omaha Steaks burgers, 4 perfectly browned potatoes au gratin, 4 caramel apple tartlets, an Omaha Steaks signature seasoning packet, and a free 6-piece cutlery set and cutting board. Delicious food, free cutlery that they're going to love for years to come for $69.99. Get this done now. OmahaSteaks.com. OmahaSteaks.com. Put in my name, P-A-G-S, Pags, in the search bar to get this amazing deal for $69.99. It's still available right now. Carol, we'll save the story for tomorrow. I think we have time for it.
Okay. It's a pretty good story,
isn't
it?
I love that story. So hold on for that. To that for tomorrow. Let's use a pop culture. Dirty pop. I'm Paul. Make it happen.
All right, so back in November, Olivia Newton-John was auctioning off a lot of items from Greece. You know,
I think
she
talked
wore.
About it, I think.
We may have.
Maybe I read it somewhere, but go ahead.
So today, the person who bought her jacket, you know, the one that the black jacket she puts on at the end.
Awesome.
Yeah, he gave it back to her.
Wow, they bought it and gave it back?
He spent $243,200.
Gave it back to her,
but all of it goes to like their cancer wellness and research center.
Oh my God, that's awesome. What a nice guy.
Yeah, and so like they caught the whole thing on video, so it's out there and it's pretty cool.
I've got to check it out. I still want to have her on the show. We got close once, but she wasn't feeling well. Yep. Got to go. That's Polo, that's Carrie, that's Sam. I'm Joe. We'll see you tomorrow, same time, same place. Have a great one.
This is the